scripture reading, we read Daniel chapter 6. Start reading at verse 30 of chapter 5. This is right after Daniel interpreted the handwriting that was on the wall, and Belshazzar clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, and proclaimed he should be third ruler in the kingdom. And then at verse 30 of chapter 5, it says, "In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, 'King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not.' Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. 'Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?' The king answered and said, 'The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not.' Then answered they and said before the king, 'That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day.' Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, 'Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed.' Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, then they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So far we read from the Holy Scriptures this evening. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we consider tonight an event that is commonly known. It's interesting to consider how news about this, that Daniel was delivered from the lions, has spread. And many people are aware of the fact that the Bible makes a reference to Daniel in the lion's den, and that he was delivered by his God. It's referred to in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks about faith. In verse 33, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Through faith, through God-given faith. And there's a reference to that, too, in verse 23, when it says, so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. We have there a striking example of faith. There's actually much instruction in this chapter, much instruction that about many different things is taught here in this chapter. But one of the things that certainly is set forth here is the work of, is the what God works in his people, the faith that he worked in Daniel. And indeed, we're to consider that. We're to recognize that what we're looking at here is the grace of God. The grace of God that delivered Daniel. And we are to think also about the gracious work within Daniel. That he believed, that he continued praying to God, even when he knew that the writing was signed. That's what it says in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber, and so on, he prayed to his God 3 times a day. When we look at that, we recognize that this is to encourage us to be strong in faith, even in the midst of great opposition. And you have to put yourself in that position and think about the temptation. If a law was made for a certain period of time that you were supposed to do something contrary to what God commands, and that the punishment, if you continued to obey God, that what was threatened was being thrown to the den of lions, of the different ways you could die. The thought of being thrown into the den of lions, being torn apart by lions, and knowing that that's the threat, that's what you're being threatened with, and yet to continue to pray to God, a great example of faith. Now, we first of all, tonight, we look at the plan. There's an instruction here that we read about the plan that they came up with. And it is important to think of how, when we look at that plan, we see the occasion was the exaltation of Daniel. We're going to look first of all at that, how Daniel was exalted, and then look at the envy, how they were envious of Daniel, and how that led them to plans of murder. We take note also in that regard about a ruler setting himself up as God. We recognize that there is instruction here about the persecution in the last days. We have here an example of somebody setting himself up as God. And we think about the coming Antichrist and what the Scripture tells us about that. We realize there's instruction here about the plans of the ungodly and what is ahead, the persecution that is ahead. Secondly, we look at the prayer. Even though he knew what the writing was, that the writing was signed, we look at that prayer. We take note of the things that were said about his prayer. We consider the significance of confessing Christ before men, for certainly that is set forth here. That he didn't hide it. He didn't hide the fact that he was worshiping God, but he did what he normally did. We consider the significance of us confessing Christ before men, making known, not trying to hide the fact that we believe in our God. And we look in contrast to the opposite. For when we look at Daniel and we see what is happening within Daniel, we also at the same time in this story see the opposite of what, the opposite of faith in those that are opposed to Daniel and opposed to God. And then lastly, we take a look at the protection. We look at the fact that Jehovah delivered Daniel who trusted in him, and how Jehovah manifested that his is the kingdom. We consider this passage under the theme, Daniel and the Lion's Den. We consider, first of all, the plan, secondly, the prayer, and thirdly, the protection. First of all, we look at the occasion. Daniel was exalted. We read the little bit of the previous chapter 2 to see that he was exalted already by Belshazzar. After God worked through Daniel to explain the handwriting on the wall, that Belshazzar clothes him with scarlet, etc., and proclaims him the third ruler in the kingdom, and then Belshazzar dies that very night. God had said was going to happen in that handwriting that was on the wall. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. That the handwriting was about the judgment that was going to come upon Belshazzar, and it happened that very night. And then Darius the Mede takes the kingdom, and Cyrus would come soon after, would be the ruler. There was this relatively short period of time in which we read of this Darius the Mede. And Darius, it pleased him to have Daniel as one of the leaders. Now he's the ruler, and it pleased him to have Daniel as one of the leaders. He set over the kingdom 120 princes, and over those princes he had three presidents. And of the three presidents, Daniel was first. Daniel was preferred above the presidents because an excellent spirit was in him. That's an interesting phrase. It appears in a number of places that there's a reference to the fact that he was exalted because an excellent spirit was in him. It's referred to in chapter 5, verse 12, where it says, "For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences, and so on, was found in Daniel." That he had an excellent spirit in him was manifested by the fact that he knew and understood and could interpret dreams. And the fact that he could do that manifested that there was this excellent spirit in him. We read something similar that was said when Joseph, we can see the parallel between Daniel and Joseph in a number of ways, and we read that when Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, that Pharaoh decided to set Joseph in a position of leadership, and Pharaoh made this statement, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" So that's what Pharaoh said. He could recognize the Spirit of God was in him. He could interpret that dream. And so also it was evident that there was this excellent spirit in Daniel, that he could interpret dreams, he could interpret and did interpret the handwriting on the wall. The fact that God's people can interpret what God says manifests what's within them. Indeed, it is the case that a manifestation that the Spirit of God is within a person is the fact that they understand this book. Of course, that was really impressed upon the kings in Joseph's day and in Daniel's day. It was impressed upon the kings when you had different kings that had something happen that they wanted to interpret, whether it was a dream or whether it was a handwriting on the wall, and they wanted an interpretation of what had happened. And when that interpretation was given, they were amazed. Well, it is the case that a manifestation of the fact that the Spirit of God is within us is the fact that we can interpret the Scriptures, that we look to God, just as they did, looking to God to show us the interpretation, so we don't look for new revelations today, but we look to God to guide us in an understanding of the Scriptures. And no, we do not have an exhaustive understanding of these things, neither did Daniel. There's reference in the book of Daniel to himself not understanding something that was made known, that he himself did not understand. Yet we see that God does guide us. The Spirit of God within us guides us to understand the Word. Another manifestation of the fact that the Spirit of God was in Daniel was the fact that they could not find fault in him. So that it was not only the case that he could interpret dreams and so on, but when you looked at his life, they couldn't find anything wrong with him. Somebody that people that hate him and that are watching him and are trying to find something wrong with him. I mean, you think of people watching you, having a group of people watching everything you do, everything you say, trying to find anything that they can find fault with, that they might make an accusation. Of course, that was what was happening to our Lord in his ministry, constantly looking to find fault with him. Well, Daniel was a sinner. It wasn't the case that he was sinless. Yet as these people are watching to try to find fault with him, they come to the conclusion that they're not going to find anything. It says that we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. They finally concluded, we're not going to find anything against him, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God, if we do that. And so they come up with this plan. One of the things we see in this history certainly is what our Heidelberg Catechism says, that envy is a cause of murder. As Daniel is exalted, and even sometimes worldly people, leaders or employers, sometimes they will advance a child of God for their own advantage. They'll find that there's an advantage that they have by having this person working for them. We see that the others were jealous. They were envious. And it is very important that we see instruction here about envy. Our catechism is correct when it says that envy is a cause of murder, and God counts it as murder. You see ambition, too. Ambition that goes with envy, which leads to murder. And that they would attempt any way possible. They were constantly looking to find some way. And what they wanted was, they wanted him put to death. And of course, we think of the fact that that was the same with Christ. They were envious. They were envious of Christ. They saw the people that were going out after him, the people that were attentive to hear him. They were envious of him, and envious, they wanted him dead. They desired that he would be crucified. Well, they came up with a plan that would also become an occasion to be a temptation for Daniel to sin by making up this law and then seeing if Daniel gives into it. Our spiritual enemies desire our ruin, whether they kill us or whether they can get us to sin, so that we don't have a good conscience, that they'll also see what they can do to get us to sin against our God. So they're going to put Daniel in a situation where either way, that if he does remain faithful, if he doesn't abide by the king's command, well, then he'll be thrown into the den of lions. And if he does, he will sin against his God. So our spiritual foes are constantly trying to put us in that kind of a situation. They come to the king, man who is proud, the devil himself lifted up in pride, tries to get man to be proud, tries to get man to be ambitious. And these men then work and tempt Darius and try to lead Darius in the same way. Try to lead Darius, the king, to give in to pride and to desire that nobody for 30 days, that nobody could bring a petition to any god or man except the king. And they're going to flatter him and say, all the presidents of the kingdom, which of course is not true, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, and so on, we've consulted together, and we want you to establish this royal statute and to make a firm decree. So they're going to flatter him this way. And as he hears that, as they encourage him, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, he gives in to them. A ruler setting himself up as God, since nobody, that they're being told that they're to, everybody is to obey the king rather than God. Man would set himself up as God, saying, you do what I say. I'm the one that rules. Do what I say. Never mind what God says. Of course, that makes us think about what the scriptures say the coming Antichrist will do. It's not something that's just in the past, something like this. It says, let no man deceive you. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, that is, destruction, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. He will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Certainly, we're receiving instruction here about what's going to happen also in the future. And notice, too, that the motivation to make a law that God's people could not obey would be motivated by a hatred for the saints. We read of that in Revelation chapter 13, for example, as well, that speaks about the coming Antichrist and the false church as well. Certainly, we receive instruction here about what is going to happen in the future. Yet we're not to be afraid. When Daniel heard about this, he prayed. Though we know that there is great tribulation ahead, we know we need not fear. Daniel prayed, and so should we. We read that when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and he did what he normally did, which was what? He opened his windows in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. We're to think about the importance of us praying, going to our God and placing our trust in God. And when men would come against us, pray. Go to God in prayer. This idea of praying toward Jerusalem, that was something that was mentioned by Solomon in his prayer, and it's also a subject that's mentioned in the psalms that we sing. When the temple was built, then when Solomon prayed, we read that he said in his prayer, Solomon's prayer, if they, the people of God, sin against thee, for there's no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy so that they carry them away captives, just as Daniel is, unto the land of the enemy, far or near, yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captives and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned. And then it goes on and speaks of them praying unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. That's verse 48. He makes a reference to praying toward the house that has been built for the name of God. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place. We sing that in a number of places. You could find a number of references, like Psalm 5, verse 7. We sing, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. So there's a number of places where we read of that. Daniel was thinking about the promises of God. He was thinking about the promise that God had made with regard to the return of the people to the land. We're also to think about the promises that God has made to us, and to think about the fact that here is not our home. As he opens the doors, or the windows, toward Jerusalem, also thinking about the fact that our home is not here. That for a time we dwell here, but we are born from above. And we're to think about We're to think about our heavenly home. Three times a day, we sing about that too in the Psalms. In Psalm 55, verse 17, we say, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. We say the same thing when we sing the Psalms. Here Daniel was exalted to a position of being a ruler. And yet, he constantly goes to his God. Prayer, after all, is the chief part of thankfulness. What this decree that this wicked king makes, what this decree amounted to, was forbidding God's people to do what is actually the chief part of thankfulness to God. Prayer. Those who, unlike Daniel, give in to their sin, we see the slavery. We see their slavery. An important principle that we see here, too, is that idea that is found in Romans 6. To whom ye yield yourselves to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. And then makes a reference to giving into sin. That's a very important principle. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? Daniel's yielding himself to God. But there are others in this story that were doing something very different. To whom ye yield yourselves, servants, to whom you listen to, his servants ye are. To whom ye obey, you listen to them, you're their servants. Brings us right back to the Garden of Eden. What happened to man when he listened to the devil, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That's Romans 6:16. Well, we think of the king, for example. You could look at the wicked men who are envious and are giving into their envy, even to the point of murder. But then we take note of the king as well, King Darius. He gave in to these men. These men are tempting him to do what's evil. His leaders. We've all consulted together. Come make this law. Very wicked decree. They're going to flatter him. And they're going to try to get him to do something that is so blatantly a rejection of God. And then after he's done it, then he is sad that he's done it. We read that when he found out that Daniel prayed, then the king was upset with himself. That it says he looked at when he heard that they said, Daniel's doing this. And notice how when they come to him, they first of all say to him, didn't you make a decree? It says they came to him and said, hast thou not signed a decree? And so on. And he says, yes, this is true, according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. They reminded him that first. And then they say, that Daniel, and they don't refer to him as the ruler that he is, but they say, who is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed. And then we read, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. And yet as the men, and he's feeling miserable. And then they come to him. It says he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver it. But he doesn't turn. Doesn't confess that the law he made was wicked. This was a wicked to make such a decree as this. But he continues on in it. The men come to him and they say, "No, king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, you can't change it." And so the king commands that they cast him into the den of lions. But he desires he's going to be delivered. And so he says, "Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And then they take a stone and they lay it upon the mouth, and the king sealed it. He sealed it with his own signet and the signets of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. That they're going to put him to death when he had not sinned. "To whom ye yield yourself, servants to obey. His servants ye are, you give in to sin." We're told that if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we're not to despair of God's mercy. We're to confess our sin. And not despair of his mercy, but we're also not to continue in sin. We're to confess our sins, look to him for grace, for forgiveness, with confidence know that we will be forgiven, and fight against that evil. But we see the ungodly in this story as they give in to their sin. Now we notice also, with regard to the prayer of Daniel, that he confessed Christ, the importance of confessing Christ before men. He did not change his custom. Where someone might have said, "Why didn't Daniel just pray, in your heart without anybody knowing? Why didn't he just do that?" That idea could easily come into your mind. They make a decree you can't pray. And at first you might think, I have to pray. It's God commands me to pray. Certainly I'm going to pray. And then they're going to throw me into the den of lions. And then one might think, but wait. I could just do it inwardly. I don't even have to close my eyes or anything or fold my hands or anything. I can just pray to God. I can talk to God on my own without anybody knowing. There's no way they're going to know. So I can still pray, and I won't be thrown into the den of lions. That's not what Daniel did. He kept doing what he did before time. What would that have appeared like if he had done that? People are watching him. It's going to appear as if he's given into it. It's going to appear, oh, he's Daniel, and look, Daniel gave into it. He's not praying. See, when the going gets difficult, when the persecution comes, then he won't call out to his God. That's what it would appear like. He is going to continue doing what he's done before, even opening the windows, as he did aforetime. We're to think about the importance, too, for us to confess Christ before men. We know that we could just keep what we believe to ourselves. Just don't say anything. We know it's opposed. We know that the things we believe are opposed. We could just keep it to ourselves. Just don't say it. So that when we're in the presence of those that would be against it, they won't know. They won't know. We won't get persecuted. We're still holding to the truth that we know is the truth. We're still believing in our God, and others don't know. But we recognize that God has commanded us to confess Christ before men. We know the book of Esther, another book around this time period. In that book, there was that idea, too, of just not making known for a while that you're a Jew. Well, we're to make known. We're to confess Christ before men. We stand up, we make confession of our faith. But not only is that the case when we're in the worship service, but it's also the case that as we go out, we're to see and to think about the fact that it is very important that we confess Christ before men. Though they throw us in the den of lions. You think of that, doing that even if you're going to be thrown in the den of lions. Sometimes we would be inclined to not say anything when we're not fearing something like that. It's so important that we think about this calling to confess Christ unashamedly before men, manifesting our faith in our God. Jehovah delivers those trusting in Him by faith, as we read, through faith, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, committing ourselves to Him. We're to commit ourselves to Him whether we live or die. Whether it's the case that we don't die, or whether it's God's plan that they're going to persecute us and we're going to die. We know there have been times when God's people have been put to death. We think of Daniel's friends when they were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. You think of what they said. They said, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." That was their confession. God will deliver us. It may be that we die. He will deliver us. We are to think about that as we pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." God hears that. God delivers us. And Daniel glorified God who delivered him. That he confessed that God had sent his angel. God sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. So he said. And notice too that he honors the king. Daniel glorifies God also. He continues to honor the one in a position of authority. Even though this man just threw him in the den of lions, he continues to say, he says to him, "O king, live forever." That was Daniel. "My God had sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths. They have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." So he confessed. The Lord delivered him. They bring him out. There's no manner of hurt on him, similar to the men that were thrown into the fiery furnace. No manner of hurt was found on him. And it says, because he believed in his God. The Lord delivers those trusting in him. We're to think of that. Placing our trust in God. Thinking of and believing the promise, the Lord delivers those trusting in him. And he manifested too here that his is the kingdom and the power and the glory. We see that God's known by the judgment he executes. Another theme that's found frequently in the scriptures. He's known by the judgment he executes. The wicked dig a pit and they fall into the pit that they dug. Here we see in the providence of God, this king decides to throw the men who had accused Daniel. They were thrown into the den of lions, and along with their children and their wives. And it says they broke all their bones in pieces ever they came at the bottom of the den. Which showed that the wicked fell into the pit that they had prepared. God is known, as we sing in the Psalms, by the judgment that he executes. We also see how that made very evident, too, that God was the one that delivered him. Somebody might have said, well, you know, those lions, for one reason or another, weren't interested in Daniel. And then when they throw in these men and their wives and their children, they see what happens before they even get to the bottom of the den. That manifested it was Jehovah God who delivers his people. His is the kingdom. His is the power and the glory. And we see how this history manifests the work of God within one of his people. A sinner like you and me. For when we see Daniel, a man of God, we're also to remember that he was a sinner like we are. He's an example. And in our trials, when we think on this example, we're to think about how, through faith, he obtained promises. Through faith, stopped the mouths of lions. In your trials, in mine, in our trials in the midst of the ungodly, for we are in the midst of this ungodly world. God has called us out of the world. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and yet we live in the midst of this wicked world. Believing in our God, going to him in prayer, requesting boldness and courage, requesting humility, true humility, may we bear witness. And may it be evident to those around us that we trust in our God, that he will deliver us. We don't fear. The Lord is on our side. I will not fear what men will do. Christ has died for us. We are righteous in him. All the blessings have been purchased. He has accomplished the victory. He rose from the dead, having paid for our sins. If he lives, which he does, we live. Because he lives, we live. He nourishes our souls to everlasting life. We don't fear man that can just kill the body. May the Lord strengthen us and give us boldness of faith that we may confess him before men to the honor of his name. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, our God, we are thankful for the grace that thou dost working in us faith. We recognize that we have not perfect faith, and yet we look to thee to grant us that we may grow stronger in faith. We recognize, too, that we don't pray as fervently, as frequently as we ought. But Lord, our desire is that more so we may do that, thinking of how it is the chief part of thankfulness, going unto thee as one, as those who know our need and who look to thee for all that we need. Grant that blessing unto us, and grant that blessing for all thy people. For Christ's sake, amen.